When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world-famous two-time champs and feel the power! It's a new day, yes it is!
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all!
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news and the home of the Beta Rank College Football Statistical Model. It's all corrupt, Rob. It's all corrupt. The regime, everything. Alabama gets into the stupid playoff. I'm not bitter because I had a 25-1 ticket on Florida State that I made literally last year when we were in Vegas. Not bitter at all about that. This is in no way personal. But I had 20-1 Texas on one side of the bracket and 25-1 Florida State on the other side. Hedge that out. That's a lot of money that I just lost. How are you, man? We had the Pac-12 championship. We have bowls coming in. We got a Dillon Gabriel to Oregon. We got a USC defensive coordinator. There's a lot to cover. What's up, man?
There is a lot to cover. I mean, there's been many happenings in the Pac-12 since. I mean, and today, Oregon State and Washington State held up $60 million in midseason payments to the other schools.
Hell yeah, man! Stick it to the man.
So, yeah, there's a lot. So there's much that happened.
I totally missed that today. So what happened?
That just happened.
This sounds delicious.
Yeah, so like it's they basically put pause on mid-season payments out to the other Pac-12 schools, and I'm just like, I mean, they're already appealing, I believe, to the Washington State Supreme Court, so this is gonna be a fun ride, I think, for that. I mean, and I don't know, I mean, like, I think technically they are able to, per the last ruling, they're the, you know, sort of the deciding body, just Oregon State and Washington State. But that is, of course, currently on appeal, and we'll see how that shakes out. I mean, they, based on the reading of the rules as they are written, they're in the wrong. Based on the way that everyone has applied the rules, which is also for super important, they're right. Which is like, you can't just be like, people, there are a bunch of yeah, for lack of a better way to put it, like very hateful little Oregon and Washington fans that are like really mad for, I mean, at Oregon State and Washington State for this. And they're like, you know, like, if you look at the rules, and I'm like, yeah, but what happened was, is when USC and UCLA said they were going to the Big Ten, they were basically deprived of any voting going forward, as was Colorado. So like the way things have happened in practice, so it also matters, like, so we'll see how it shakes out, but it'll be, I think that one, my expectation is they're not going to be able to just sit on like everybody's money for the rest of the season, like keep all of like the, I think it's estimated like $400 million. They're not going to be able to keep all that, but
sit on it as long as you can, like, yeah, you know, take a bath in it, you know, throw it out, which is probably extremely dirty. So actually don't do that. Like, yeah, very much don't do that. But, you know, do other things with it. You know, throw it around at, like, each other, you know, like Montgomery, Burns, and Smithers, where they're, yeah, just throwing the cash at each other. You know, take full advantage of the moment. Oh, that's really interesting. And we'll definitely keep a look at that. It looks more and more, Rob, that, I mean, in this, I think we pretty much anticipated this happening, but it looks more and more like Oregon State and Washington State are going to form some sort of Mountain West, right? They already have the scheduling down, yeah, or they're in negotiations for scheduling, which makes sense. It's really sad. And we're starting to see, you know, some of the fallout from this. I mean, the Oregon State team has basically fallen apart. The coaching staff, yep, leaves to go to Michigan State. You're seeing a bunch of players in the transfer portal. Adrian Childs is in the transfer portal, and that was kind of the future of Oregon State in terms of the quarterback position. I'm curious to see what players transfer in.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan Smith was a really a big sell for that program. Great coach, good offensive system. He's bringing, I believe, Mahalchek with him. Good offensive line that's going to protect you. And now you have an unproven defensive coordinator who, to be frank, has done a really good job the last 2 years with Oregon State, but who knows if he's an actual head coach, and who knows if that, you know, that defense is going to stick together. It's really rough. I've been really sad watching the Oregon State.
No, it's really it's really disappointing for both of these schools, I think, to be, you know, so much on the outside looking in, right? And for, Bray has been a terrific DC. Whether that translates into being a head coach is always a question, right? Like it's a different skill set. And I don't know, like his first hire, I was surprised at. Like he went and hired, now you often hire people you know, and he hired somebody he knew, Ben Gilbranson, who's a former Oregon State quarterback, to be the, who'd been on UCLA's staff, but not as a play caller, of course, as his new OC. And I thought that was an interesting hire. I mean, I would have expected, look, Gilbranson could absolutely worked out. I thought Bray was like, they should get somebody with experience, you know? But Oregon State still got enough budget and enough money to likely pay more, next season to their staff than, you know, like a lot of other Group of Five schools. And so they should have been able to go out and raid somebody who's got a good Group of Five offensive play caller out there, or go get a really good FCS play. I mean, it feels like a huge risk to have a brand new, you're going into they will still, even with the roster troubles, probably still likely having more talented roster than a lot of the Mountain West, if not all of them. But, you know, it feels really, that's the bummer, is it feels really precarious. Like things could go, like instead of going in and just dominating a Mountain West schedule, they could take some L's.
Yeah. I think the good news for Oregon State, and certainly for Washington State, we're zeroing in on Oregon State because I think the fallout has been more public than I think Washington State has been, but they've made really good hires, and even the hires that haven't worked out. Looking at you, Gary Anderson, at the time that looked like a smart hire. You know, it didn't work out for
Wisconsin's coach,
but he had the, I know that's a crazy thing. And maybe there's stuff behind the scenes that we didn't see. I mean, clearly he has left a cratering hole everywhere he's gone ever since. But at the time it was a good hire. Obviously, Riley, carried the program for a while. Dennis Erickson was there. Jonathan Smith. They've made really interesting and or good hires back to back to back, like for a long period of time. And Washington State has too.
Yeah.
So I'm more, I wouldn't say confident. You know, the other thing that sucks is they just redid their entire stadium, and now they're going to make like no money from the Mountain West. But I'm worried. But I do think that the track record is there, at least on the football side, for both of those programs to take this seriously and to make the most of where they're at. And frankly, they have had to do more with less, their entire career, basically the entire time of the Pac-12.
So, I mean, they will go into
Washington.
They will go into the Mountain West with, a bigger, alumni base, than a lot of those schools in the Mountain West. And more engaged fans and that kind of thing. It just, where we are in the first 5 years and where we are in 10 years, my hope for them is that they do great and find their way back into the Power Four, which is what it's going to be next season. Right. I think that they're just so dominant, they become like the Gonzaga of college football, right? Like, and are able to just continually like get into what a playoff that should be more open, at least with one spot, going to a program outside the Power Four. But it is it feels, of course, more troublesome for Oregon State because you lose Jonathan Smith, right? Like, Washington State still has their head coach. Losing Jonathan Smith really hurts for Oregon State because not only was not only did you like lose your head coach in a time of transition, he's also an alum who's like, who is one of the better head coach. I mean, they've had some really good head coaches, but is one of the better head coaches, you know, hires that they've found in a while. Right. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then like, you know, shifting over to the transfer portal, you know, obviously there's some big names, but the quarterbacks, it's hard not to start with the quarterbacks. It's such an important position in college football and in football in general. And you have so many freaking quarterbacks, like Dylan Morris, transfer portal. Sam Jackson just hit the transfer portal. Like some of these have happened like really recently, right? Sam Levitt has gone from Michigan State to ASU, which is interesting. What's the one, the guy that we always actually don't think is really good? Ty Thompson, transfer portal. Adrian Childs, transfer portal. Cam Ward. It's interesting. It's funny because Cam Ward is like setting the market for NIL right now in terms of a quarterback. Like
he's going to Miami and Florida State. He's visiting Miami tomorrow and Florida State maybe the day after.
Yeah. And I think he's visiting Miami with another transfer. Like they're on the same trip, which is bizarre. got two guys that are just like on the campus at the same time. I thought it was really interesting that a lot of the movement at the quarterback position is dependent on how much Cam Ward is going to get paid, which is really an interesting story from where he came from Incarnate Word all the way to probably Florida State or Miami. I think that's, I hope he doesn't go to Miami. Like what, how depressing. It's like, oh yeah, you finally made it, brother. You're going to play quarterback for checks notes. Oh no.
Right. Well, it's crazy too. I mean, like look at the last 3 weeks that Chip Kelly had, right? Like he beats USC, saves his job probably from like, and then goes out, loses a dumb game to Cal, loses his defensive coordinator, loses Dante Moore to the transfer portal. I mean, UCLA is like taking a step into the pack or into the Big Ten, like not on the best of foot.
No. I think the biggest news right now is the transfer of Dylan Gabriel to Oregon. It's Dylan Gabriel. I mean, we did this with Bo Nix and clearly it worked out. And I actually think the more that I've thought about this, the more I go, oh yeah, he's probably going to do really well there. But I mean, fairly limited. I mean, he's fine and he can carry a program. And I think, in the right system, he makes sense. And that's kind of where I was more bullish after, you know, my knee-jerk reaction was like, oh, good luck with that. But man, they really did a good job with Nix. I think that offensive system has been pretty adaptive to the quarterbacks that they have had. I actually think this is going to work out, and which is good. It's a good spot for Gabriel. I think it's a good spot for Oregon. Clearly, Ty Thompson wasn't the future. I mean, you and I have covered this for the last 2 years. Yeah. We're just like, yeah, he's a five-star like on paper, but I don't think he has it. And I'm curious where he goes. Like I mean, definitely group of five, I would assume, right? Like I don't see him playing in a power five.
And maybe somebody takes a flyer on him. I mean, you could see him landing in like an Iowa State type situation in the power five, right? Like, I mean, somebody like Iowa State would absolutely maybe take a shot. I mean, I'm not saying that like Iowa State has a terrific freshman quarterback that they're absolutely all in on, but like that type of level, right? Like that kind of a step, you know, a step down. It is tough because it's not like DJU, who at least had like some game tape and everything like that, right? Who was also in the portal.
That's right. Yeah. That's
but right. But for Thompson, like, I mean, you know, a place where you could see him land, I mean, if they're just looking to accumulate QBs is ASU, because he does have some experience with Kenny Dillingham. He's from Phoenix. I don't think Levitt is like, I mean, if I'm Kenny Dillingham, I'm taking as many QBs as I can, you know, fit on the roster, given how it went this season. But I think you could see him go to a Mountain West school, graduate and then transfer again, right? Like try to put up some big numbers and then transfer one more time. I could see that. Working out for him. But he did not, you know, and I do think, I mean, like Dylan Gabriel, I expect to work. Like Oklahoma had a pretty good offense. They were number 7 in effective pass with beta rank last season. You know, and I think Will Stein has been a revelation as offensive coordinator at Oregon. Like, Gabriel could have a really, really big year for them.
It was a great pickup for them. I was like really interested in whether they would go after him. Obviously, when I mean, this was before the news was like immediately their name is tied to him when he hits the transfer portal. So kind of seemed like that was a done deal. But beforehand, I'm like, oh, that'd be a good fit for him. Sam Levitt, right? The Michigan State quarterback, 4-star guy going to ASU. I didn't watch. I'll tell you, look, I watched Washington beat the crap out of Michigan State. That's the only Michigan State game I've watched all year. Is that what did you think about? I mean, like to your point, stockpiling quarterbacks, probably a good idea. The least surprising transfer for me this entire year was Drew Pine going out of ASU. Yeah. And I think that's more on Drew Pine than ASU, right? He was so annoyed to be in that football game against USC, like just painfully annoyed. Like when I have to, like when I'm standing in line at a bank, like I actually have to walk into a bank for some reason. And I'm like, why? I don't want to be here. Like, what?
I mean, as
like,
bad as it was, like, it was bad. Like he still couldn't basically get on the field. So,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, he's out, but what'd you think about the Sam Levitt transfer to ASU?
I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, he was bad at Michigan State, but the whole team was bad. It's hard to sort of isolate how much was him and how much was a team that basically imploded. And like even under Mel Tucker, never quite had an offense that worked anyway. You know, like mostly, I mean, I think if Dillingham can get, I think Dillingham's a good offensive mind. I think not having Bo Baldwin as OC is a good plan. They did get, oh, I'm forgetting his name. It was the UNL Marcus Arroyo, who I liked. I mean, he was good.
Oh, they got Marcus Arroyo?
Yeah, he was good. He wasn't great at Oregon, but he was really good. And that's a good hire for them, I think. And it's a hell of a lot better than Bo Baldwin. So you get, I mean, I like the coaching staff on the offensive side of the football. I mean, I think it can work if they get the right personnel in. But like, I think they have a multi-year slog. I think that they're going to be a bit like Arizona and that it's like, it might be a multi-year slog, like a 3-year build on that offensive line. Yeah. Like
by the time they're successful, he's going to look like he graduated from college. Yeah. Like, I think that's how long it's going to take. He looks so young on the field. Like he looks like a high school Madden player. That's just like really good at his job. And again, I say this all in love. Like, he has done such a good job with ASU. I was so impressed with the way that they played given what they had. He went balls to the wall on play calling, like just doing crazy stuff to stay in games. I was super impressed by it. And I really do hope that they're good in the future. Anything else in the transfer portal? I know, you know, USC got like a 4-star defensive end. We'll see if he's
good. Yeah, the guy from Vanderbilt, anchor down.
Yeah, anchor down. The other player from Vanderbilt is going to be buried in on the USC depth chart because they can't figure it out.
I can't get excited about USC transfers into USC. Like, unless you get like a Jordan Addison type player again, like it just... or Caleb Williams, like fun. I mean, but like the defensive guys that go in there, like, look, and we should talk about it, like with Danton Lynn in there, like, heck yes, I think that's a really good hire, you know. And I think that's a move in the right direction, you know. Like, I'm less fussed, I mean, like, I'm a little less worried about, you know, he only has the 1 year of play calling experience, but he comes, you know, from the NFL, from that Raven staff. You know, I thought it was going to work out when he was hired at UCLA, given the track record of guys in particular coming off that Raven staff that then would go call plays at the NFL.
Yeah.
I think it should work, you know, like, and I think, you know, that's exactly, I mean, it's exactly like Lincoln Riley needed to make a change. Grinch wasn't working. I think this was a really good hire.
Then they went out and got the North Dakota State coach to be their like
linebackers coach. Assistant. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he has, you know, it's like he has like 7 titles. It's like the girl from Game of Thrones. There's like 16, you know, preambles.
King of the Queen of the Andals and the First Men and protector of the faith. So that was interesting. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. She who weeps.
Yeah.
You know, he who celebrates. Better.
But I mean, it is like, I mean, that, like, I do like, and I think that's probably like, they did need to make some changes probably on the defensive staff too. I think, I mean, I'm just, look, I think you can go out there and live in transfer world. I'm still really worried about Riley and recruiting. You know, cause like, I personally don't think you can put together a championship level offensive and defensive line out of the portal. you know, and I don't think, I just don't think you can go out there and like, they're all going to be bangers, right? Like, I think you have to, you still have to be able to recruit and develop at the top of college football. But I think that's true for like, of nearly every team. Like, yeah, lots of teams take on transfers. Lots of teams do. Like, and some very successful teams also load up on transfers. But like, there's also a core of homegrown talent that you have to have there. And that's what really worries me about USC is like, I don't feel like that there's like a, they didn't feel like they were on much of a trajectory of player development.
No, not one bit. Particularly on the wide receiver position, they've recruited well there and they just were not good this year. I mean, it was crazy how disappointing, and a lot of them were transfers, but it was interesting because the transfers pushed out some of the four-star guys that were initially going to be there. And it's just, all right, man, that's a choice, but here we are.
Dorian Singer, go back to Arizona, man. Like,
yeah, that's right. Go get paid. Like,
go back. Like, Jacob Cowing is going off to the NFL. Like, go back and
bring the playbook with you.
Well, not only that, but like, you know who's starting the game? We talked about this. You know who is starting the bowl game is Miller Moss. It's Miller Moss time.
Yeah. Yeah. I already bet.
Not Malachi Nelson, who apparently just
that's
like,
too.
And there was like an interview with Riley where he talked about him just not progressing this year. And I'm just like, oh man, like
that's 2 5-stars in Los Angeles that just did not show up basically. Dante Moore, who obviously was thrown into the fire. But Malachi Nelson, the fact that he couldn't break the quarterback position, fighting Miller Moss is really worrisome. So,
and you're not here, you don't hear USC as like, is Cam Ward visiting USC? Like, you don't hear them tossed around in the transfer portal. And I am not some transfer portal insider. So,
yeah.
Like, the finger in the wind is about all I got with the transfer portal. But you don't hear them mentioned, you know, along with any quarterbacks, you know, in the portal. And so it could be Miller Moss and it could be, that's bonkers to me that they could go into next season with like Nelson and Miller Moss.
Malachi Nelson. And yeah, I'm trying. So I'm going to go, let's just top through, although this is November 30th, but Let's try ESPN. Hold on. I want to see the best quarterbacks in the NCAA transfer portal, and let's just do an exercise here of who we think would be worth it. Right. So Cam Ward, obviously. Oh, this is an ESPN. Get out of my face. ESPN Plus. Shut up. You send me so many ads. Hold please. Let me get this. I'm like disgusted with this. Get out of my face. All right. So Cam Ward, who we think is going to the state of Florida. Dylan Gabriel already locked in.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle McCord, but I don't think, like, look, I don't think Kyle McCord's good. I think he's fine, but we watched him. I've watched a lot of Ohio State, and that offense is, you had Marvin Harrison Jr.
He's likely going to Nebraska.
I mean, that's good for him and good for Nebraska. But
like, I mean, I wouldn't go play in a Matt Rhule offense, but.
No. Like, is Satterfield still there, too? I think that's a massive problem. Well, good job. Yeah, like, it's like when.
somebody just predicted that Dylan Raiola, who is a 5-star quarterback committed to Georgia, is going to flip to Nebraska. And I'm like, who's advising these kids? Like, that's like, why would you do that to your, why would you do that to yourself? I don't care how much money Nebraska offers you. Like don't, if you have other options, don't do that.
It's like when Graham, the former OC at USC, Graham Harrell.
Yeah.
And then it was a TJ, one of the USC players followed him. Like, you saw, you already saw what this was.
Right.
Why would you go follow that? It makes no sense.
But so yeah.
DJU.
Oh no, I don't think he's an upgrade over. Yeah. I mean, I think tools wise, he's an upgrade over Moss, but like he's going to throw more. Maybe more. I don't know if it's an upgrade. Overall, you're not probably scoring many more points.
Now we're getting down to like Will Howard.
Oh,
Grayson McCall.
I mean, totally. I mean, but those guys run totally different offenses. Those guys are going to be best in totally different offenses than Lincoln Riley runs. Like Will Howard and Grayson McCall, you to really utilize them to their full potential, you need to have like QB power in your arsenal, and that is not something Lincoln Riley runs a lot of. Like he would have to rethink.
So UCLA, right? Isn't that the move?
Oh, dude, those guys would crush it at the, they'd be like mobile Wilson Spite, Wilton Spite.
Yeah.
Now Chip Kelly could run some QB power.
Yeah. I think that'll be interesting to see if they pick up one of those guys, because clearly, like, Dante, with Dante Moore gone, and I didn't think he was good anyway, at least this freshman here looked terrible. And I mean, obviously the guy from Kent State didn't work out. And then you're getting down to what's his face, the Washington transfer that also wasn't very good. I mean,
Garbers, yeah.
I'm curious to see if one of the they got nobody there, man. Like, and that whole team just collapsed on itself. Like, I just,
it's bonkers because like
we were talking about
the four schools go, like, I mean, it's Oregon and Washington are sitting kind of pretty going into the Big Ten, and they're getting like the discount forever. I mean, they're getting half off for a long time.
That's right.
Till the next deal gets signed. And then, you know, like the schools going into the, like, I mean, I guess it's sort of true, like ASU and Colorado, they haven't figured out, but Arizona and Utah do right now, heading into the Big 12, right? And USC and UCLA are just a mess.
Yeah. It's funny, like the Pacific Northwest schools, like, when you're at the casino, craps at like $10 and you get grandfathered in, and all of a sudden you look around and everybody's throwing $50 a bet. And I'm like, yeah, it's the opposite of that. Where, like, you know, they're very much not grandfathered into this.
Yeah. they got grandfathered in as having to bet $50 all the time.
Yeah, that's right. This stupid sport. All right. Let's talk, anything else transfer portal related or coaching related? Because we haven't talked about the championship game yet.
I mean, I think Pat Shurmur is now like the full-time OC at Colorado, for better or worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean,
did they get anybody else?
No. Well, they decided that was the way they wanted to go. Now, they did land the top five-star offensive tackle. Like, they did pull that out of their hat. So congrats. I mean, they need them to play right away. But even that, like, guys like that are going to be, like, it takes a little bit for guys to offensive linemen to develop. So I wouldn't expect him to like show up and be like a star. I mean, maybe he will. Five star, you know, maybe you are a star on day one.
Pushing back a little bit, but also agreeing with you, he could be the best lineman right now on the team.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think
yeah.
that's fair.
Yeah.
But that could, I mean, is that honorable mention Pac-12 or Big 12, or, yeah, you know, like, that's kind of for the freshman. Yeah, you're right, it takes a while to get yeah. locked in.
I mean, that's all a transfer portal. I think I mean, there's some other names, I think, like, maybe I can't remember. No, that's it.
We'll
come back and catch it up later.
Yeah, I mean, it's never good when you mention Lake at Washington and you make any comparisons to him and other coaches.
Oh yeah.
But when he was like, we found our defensive coordinator and it's the best one in the country right in house, and it's Bob Gregory.
Yeah.
Like, that strikes me as the same type of hire as what Coach Prime is doing for the offensive coordinator at the University of Colorado. That is super worrisome to me.
Yeah. I mean, they're still going to have a lot of problems next season, right? I mean, it's not, they were better than they were last year, this year, and they'll be better than they were this year, next year. But I don't know if they're going to be like challenging anybody for, maybe they sniff a bowl next year. I could see that.
Maybe. Yeah. I think a big, maybe with four question marks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the Pac-12 champion. And let's talk some bowl games, and let's do it right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. We're talking Pac-12 football. We didn't talk about the championship last week because we had some work stuff come up. Washington 34, Oregon 31. Two things jumped out for me. This game was extremely physical from Washington's standpoint, and that was how they handled Oregon's both sides of the line against Oregon. That was surprising. I mean, yeah, I would say it's surprising because of the high quality opponent that they played. Like if they pushed around Colorado or Stanford or you know even some of the mid level Pac-12 teams, I wouldn't have been as surprised. But the fact that they went against a team that is very physical and really took care of business against Oregon was really impressive. The second thing for me was the wide receivers finally showed up, right?
Yeah.
We made a big deal in our breakdown of, okay, it's been Roma Dunze and nobody. And Polk and McMillan both either got healthy or they took some shots.
Like yeah.
Something happened where
he took some horse tranquilizers. Yeah,
that's right. And that's great news for Washington. And we'll talk about the game looking forward, but because if they're really on top of it and if, like they have weeks to heal now and
yeah.
I think Penix, we said we think Penix was hurt. I think those wide receivers were banged up and you know, Penix didn't have the best game in terms of the stats, but he was able to move the ball down the field enough. And just the fact that they were able to run for 152 yards. That's impressive. Like this team looked really good.
They did. And in Oregon, I mean, Oregon basically had a game plan to take away Odunze. Like they played a light box all game. They didn't go away from it. Even when Washington was, you know, running the ball. Now Washington, I mean, even with you take away the two sacks, you know, but they finished, you know, overall their two sacks and they finished with 4.2 per carry, which isn't outstanding. But they were able to run the ball in particular early. And Oregon, again, like they stuck with doubling Odunze and basically daring Washington to beat them running the football and throwing it. And look, Oregon came back and made a game of it. And then Washington turned the gas on again, like just absolutely yeah. left him in the dust. And that's like we talked about, like, I mean, there's no two ways about, I mean, Washington fans will tell you like this has been the team all along, right? Like, and they like
no, just, they're like, wrong. They're wrong.
No, I know. I mean, like,
I love this team. Yeah,
this is like I mean, they're like they're just super clutch, and I'm like this team also like kind of sucked for 6 weeks. Like, like I mean, not they were good enough to win, but that's about all. And that like. That I think is like we'd been because we talked about like I mean Washington had an opportunity against Utah to go in like Utah has a really good run defense. They have a suspect pass defense sometimes. I mean and you know they had a chance to go in and really you know drop the hammer on Utah at home and they didn't right like yeah. I mean Utah put up 28 points in the first half. They didn't score in the second half, but I mean, you also gave up 28 to Utah and a half, which not many teams did this season. And so like they didn't put on the gas the whole second half of the season. And it just, I mean, it is, this Washington team is kind of an enigma going. I mean, and you could also argue, I think Texas is a little bit too, because of the injury they had at QB. They played some games that were closer down the stretch a little bit too, but yeah, I mean, this Washington team is a bit of an enigma for me, right? Like what are we going to get in the playoff? Are we going to get the team that kind of like scuffled along against ASU? But I mean, look, I mean, all credit to them. They dropped the hammer on Oregon. Like this game wasn't as close as the previous game. Like Washington was able to, I mean, again, for lack of, I mean, they just had a better game plan and executed it. Like, and that's what I think I was most surprised at is like Oregon's offensive game plan was probably, I think, the worst one. And Washington very much had it. Like it was if Washington kind of knew what Oregon's game plan was going to be coming in, because Washington's defense is okay. They're like 25 overall in beta rank. That's kind of better than Sunnyside of the middle in the Power Five as a defensive unit. But they had a good game against this Oregon team.
Yeah.
And I thought they had a really good game plan. They knew what Oregon was going to try to do, and they had a plan to stop it.
The first quarter was incredibly impressive, right? It was three and out. And they scored, like, I mean, on their end, Washington scoring, they put up 10 points.
Yeah.
And just stone cold. And that was the game. Like, I mean, obviously the rest of the game matters.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they were in control from that much. And like you mentioned, Oregon did come back. But just having those 10 points right off the bat and then being able to be yourself on offense and still pushing around the lines. I mean, like, the game was kind of baked from there. Now, it's possible that Oregon came back and won, but I was watching it the whole time thinking, this is a good game, but I feel like Washington's the better team here. And I'm really excited to see them full health against Texas. Like, that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that line is 4, right? I mean, it on paper,
it opened at 5.5.
Oh snap. So it's popped down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not, I mean, I wasn't so like, I mean, people should not be surprised at that line. That's about where beta rank had it, right? It was like about in that same spot where Texas is favored. I mean, Texas is a good football team. And Washington because of how they played down the back stretch, with truly the exception of that Oregon game and the Pac-12 championship, how they played down the stretch, like they are undefeated, but they are probably either in Vegas power ratings, and I think in all the advanced stats, like, they are the lowest rated of the power of the playoff teams coming in. And like, that's like the Washington offense we saw against Oregon, which we felt like we hadn't seen in literally months since they last played the Ducks. I mean, they got to have that show up, but like, this Texas defense is really good. Like, this Texas team, like, the offense has been in and out this season for them, but the defense is really good. And it is one of those ones that I think will be interesting, because I thought Washington had a really good game plan for Oregon. I do. And both of these staffs are going to have, like, that's the fun of the playoff semifinals, is that the staffs have time to really plan. Yeah. And so
you have Sark and DeBoer with like 3 weeks to just cook up stuff.
Well, you got Kwiatkowski too on the,
yeah, that's right.
Like, so that's the one, like, Washington fans, the name for the blast from your past is like the DC at Texas. And he has fully turned that defense around. And like, you will hear people say that like Texas has a suspect pass defense. Like, that's wrong. If people are telling you that, they're looking at per game metrics, and per game metrics are for dummies. So like on a yards per attempt basis, Texas has a really good pass defense. So like, if you're looking at like, they give up so many yards a game, like, oh, they faced a bunch of teams that throw the ball around like that. Welcome to Big 12 football, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, like, but on an actual per attempt basis, like, Texas has a pretty good pass defense. So, and they have a really good defensive line. Like, it's going to be the best defensive line Washington has faced up to this point this season. So I am excited for this, but like, Washington, like, I think what really impressed me was, like, as someone that has, you know, Oregon was surging as Washington was kind of scuffling along, Oregon was playing really, really well down the back half. So when they came back and took the lead, it felt like Washington had maybe, fired their shots, right? Like, the powder magazine might have been dry, right? And like, now Oregon, the Oregon that we've seen steamrolling people, and Washington, to their credit, absolutely had answers. Like, that was that part to me was, yes, the beginning I think was impressive. They came out and they looked really dominant, but after Oregon came back and then Washington was able to like really find answers, and Oregon, it turned out, had none. That was what I think was most impressive to me about the game. But you're going to have, I mean, they're absolutely going to have everyone show up here. Because like, the other part is like, man, the semifinals with a month to plan tend to have more of a coaching and game plan influence to them than I think like the final does. The final, everybody's got a week, right? Like, it's like, all right, we're off. Like, and nobody's like doing much advanced scouting. Like, all of your planning is going into that semifinal game. I think of all those ones that Clemson was in with Brent Venables, you know, who also had a reputation for sign stealing. but like Venables, like usually had really, really good game plans. And if you got somebody that can put together a really, really good game plan, and that's like, I mean, Washington had a really good game plan on short notice for Oregon. I'm interested to see, you know, what it is going to be against Texas. Cause like that, I fully expect Sark, who had, I mean, like you look at that Alabama game, he had a magnificent game plan offensively for Alabama. You have time to plan for this, right? Like, and Kwiatkowski's going to have time too. Like Washington's going to have to play at their best, I think.
Yeah. No, it's such a fun, and it's funny because Alabama looks like the odd team. I mean, it's such a bummer that Florida State, that their quarterback got hurt, because that team was rolling, and I still think they deserved a spot, but that's been covered, like, you know, ad nauseum for the last 2 weeks. And again, I mean, not that I'm bitter about the 25-1 or anything, but I'm so pissed about that. But Alabama looks like the dumb, boring team in this playoff, right? Because Texas earned it.
Right.
Washington is electric when they're healthy, and they're going to be healthy.
Right.
And Michigan has just been a monster basically all year. And then Alabama is actually the team where you go, I don't know, like Jaden Milroe, and the defense is fine. It's good. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, obviously them beating Georgia was super impressive, but like the whole SEC ain't played nobody this
year.
Like, I mean, like there's nothing there. I'm obviously they're really good. And obviously, you know, they're a team that, you know, there's a reason that they're in the playoff. Like their defense is excellent, and they have offensive pieces, but it just kind of seems like that, you know, every year there's like, I guess that team's in, and that's Alabama this year, which is, 3 out of 4, I guess, ain't bad.
It'll be interesting. I mean, like it's an interesting year, because right now, I mean, and look, this isn't 2019 where you have like some, and we talked about this coming into the season, like it was going to be pretty wide open. And I mean, Michigan is at 4 in beta rank, and they're the highest ranked team in the playoff, right? Like Georgia, like Oregon was going to be favored. Oregon, had they won the Pac-12 title, would have been favored over Michigan and by Vegas, right? Like some books have put out, you know, like, you know, sort of like look ahead type lines. You know, like Georgia, you know, Georgia was, we talked about this when we previewed the SEC title game, like Alabama is a really bad matchup for Georgia, right? Like Georgia has a bad run defense. Alabama runs the ball really well. You know, Georgia likes to throw the ball. Alabama has a really good pass defense. You know, like this is a bad matchup. That is not Michigan, right? Like, but I mean, like the thing that makes this playoff interesting is like, there's no juggernaut in this playoff. There's nobody that's so good that you have to be excellent to be in it, right? Like Washington, even though they are one of the lower ranked teams in beta rank to make the playoff, you know, like they're absolutely in it, because like, this is not like there are no great teams this season in college football to begin with. And so if you're Washington, like you can line up and go toe to toe with Michigan, right? Like, you know, they're not that much, like they don't grade out that much better than you. Like, even though they are at 4, like they're not at number one, like in like some clear margin or anything. And, you know, Texas has been really good, but like their offense is at 16 in beta rank, right? Like they're not some monster, you know, like, that's what's interesting about this season. Like any one of these teams, you know, could win. I mean, like, you know, the margin between these teams, this isn't like, I mean, like TCU needed it. It felt like, I mean, a ton of luck. I mean, goal line stands, turnovers, you name it, against Michigan to get that win, right? And then there was no luck left against Georgia. You know? Like, this is not like that, right? Like, they're not going to be so far. They're not going to need, like, Washington, if Texas finishes mine and was one on turnovers, Washington is like right in it, if not a slight favorite with, you know, if that, like Alabama, if Michigan finishes -1 on turnovers, like they're right in it too. Even though I do think, like, in a pure power ranking, you put Washington or I mean Alabama and Michigan pretty close together, but I actually think it's a really bad match. This is a funny one. This is the opposite. It's a really bad matchup for Alabama, because they don't defend the run terribly well. Michigan just loves to run the football, of course, and they defend the run really well. So that'll be, I mean, like, you give Nick Saban time to game plan, he could tighten this up a little bit, but like beta rank actually thinks Michigan's a pretty sizable favorite.
Oh, that's interesting. Because like, I don't think the spread's
That one's actually a tighter spread. But like, again, you look at the like the actual matchups on that one, and whereas everything broke Alabama's way with that matchup against Georgia, like with what they were good at and everything. Like this one's the opposite. Like this breaks very much against Alabama's favor.
Well, let's talk about a few more bowl games here this week. So we have UCLA, Boise State, and Cal at Texas Tech, very much not at Texas Tech, although Shreveport, you know, it's got a little bit of Lubbock to it.
That's a long drive from Lubbock, too.
Yeah,
that's not close. One state away, and so far.
It's like the most, like going from one side of Russia to the other side of Russia, that's like basically Lubbock to Houston. That's what it feels like.
It's like, am I there yet? Vladivostok to the Polish border, like...
It's really freaking far. Let's talk. Look, buyer beware at all these games, right? Like, you know, do not gamble on these games unless you know that a team does not care, or you know both teams care and they're all full strength and they're all playing.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the two areas where this would make sense. And here point A, you know, UCLA, right? Is Chase Garber's playing? I would assume so. Who's the defensive coordinator on this team now? And Boise State, did they just make a hire? I know they fired the former Oregon DC.
Yeah, they did. They fired Andy Avalos. Good Lord, did they actually make a hire?
I miss the days when this was the underwear New Mexico Bowl. Like, come on, let's
LA. This is the part that blows me away. Spencer Danielson has been elevated to the permanent head coach. I forgot about that. That
sounds unfortunate.
Well, I mean, it's just weird. Like the guy that like basically like played out the string and, you know, did win the Mountain West Championship. But like Avalos would have done that too. And then you just keep like, it's one of those, like, we like either your staff, but we don't like you. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm interested because, so, I mean, the Boise State now is not the Boise State of, you know, past years, 8-5, 6-2 in the Mountain West, but they play this UCLA team that I don't know who their quarterback is. I don't know how motivated they're going to be. The defense is really good though. Like, But the thing that drives me nuts is like Chip Kelly does not care about many things, like many aside from the food budget at UCLA. I don't know if the LA Bowl against Boise State is one of the things he's going to care about, but I do think that they're going to run the ball, and I do think that the defense will be like at least decent.
Yeah,
and they are, you know, I don't know if I trust this Boise team. And UCLA comes in as a 4-point favorite. I need to go back and look at Chip Kelly's bowl record, right? Like, does he actually care in these seasons? Like, is this something that like he actually goes to war over? I don't think he does. I mean, this is a game that like if it's on and your in-laws are annoying, throw it on, like watch it. It'll be fun. But I don't think there's a real edge here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Baderink likes Boise State 41, basically 41.36 to 36.75. You know, Boise State comes in at 29 overall in beta rank, which honestly is as good as they've done in years. Like, I'm just like, I was a little surprised at the Avalos move. I mean, but they get a UCLA team that's number 8 overall in defense, but without their DC in place.
Yeah, that's
They're at 7 in effective defending the pass. They're at 11 in effective rush. Like this Boise State offense, like they run the ball. This is a 13 overall in effective rush. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think Latu is going to play in this bowl. Like, I mean, like whoever the opt outs are on that front seven is going to be a really big determinant on how this goes. But this UCLA offense is putrid. They're at 81 overall in beta rank. They're 54 in effective rush versus 99 in effective pass. This Boise State defense is at 3 in effective rush. They're at 35 overall versus 89 in effective pass. UCLA has a putrid kicker. They're at 123 overall in special teams. Like, I just, I like Boise in this game.
Yeah. Oh man, you got me. You got me on that. And like, you know, Chip Kelly's only been, I think, how long has he been coach? It's probably been since 2018.
Yeah. Is that right? I mean, because the last year was 2017 of,
Jim Mora. Yeah. UConn's favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
He knew who killed Tupac already.
So since 2018, how many bowl games do you think UCLA has been in? Two. I'm double checking this right now. But because they lost to Pitt. Okay, they remember they were 6-3. Gosh, the COVID thing just throws me off. Because why were they not in a bowl in 2021? The COVID year was canceled. That was the year where Chip Kelly's just like, yeah, we're not gonna play in the bowl. Remember, he's like, yeah, we're not playing the Holiday Bowl. And he tells the North Carolina State team like the day before the game. Which is just crazy to me. So I mean, like, it's a little misleading, right? Because UCLA has been decent during Chip Kelly's tenure, but they didn't play a bowl game in COVID. They lost to that stupid, was it a Sun Bowl? That stupid game against Pitt last year where DTR was in the game and he threw for like 200 yards and he threw the ball in the dirt like 17 times. Yeah, Boise, good call. Good call. I think Boise's
like, they're not even in a hurry. Like, Chip Kelly is like, basically like, we're starting the process of hiring a defensive coordinator. Like, dude, what are you, like, signing day is like days away.
I can't believe they didn't fire him. Like, just, I just think that that's like, really so dumb. Like, what are we doing? So stupid.
Oh,
I'm gonna miss this conference so much, Rob. Like, just all these just ridiculously obvious.
It's not gonna be fun when it's like, I mean, you're gonna be telling these jokes about like Chip Kelly to people in the Big Ten, and they're not, but they're mostly just not gonna care. Right, like they're not.
Like, we really like to run the football.
Right, I mean, like, you know, like nobody's gonna care about Phil Knight money jokes or Chip Kelly only recruits on Tuesdays or any of that. I live in Columbus, Ohio. They don't even care what Iowa's doing. To be honest, they only care. It's basically like Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. That's it.
Them and most of the country, except for every 4 years for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And then they'll
Well, it'll be interesting. It's like, who does Iowa hire as their offense? Like that? Yeah. Bring me that. That's the fun story.
The power move, like everything on the table move would be hiring the guy that was BC's offensive coordinator this year. Like, that would be so good. I would just do it just because. Like, fire me. What are you going
to
do?
Just hire somebody that used to call, like, just hire a defensive coordinator and just be like, that's what we're doing. Like, just like.
That's legit. All right, next game. Cal is playing Texas Tech in the Independence Bowl in Shreveport. Cal is a 2.5-point dog. And Texas Tech has been interesting this year because they've had some high highs and low lows. I mean, obviously, everybody that's been listening to this podcast remembers the game that they had against Oregon. They should have won. But then they lost at Wyoming in double overtime. God bless. I almost said rest in peace, Craig Bull. He hasn't died. He's just retiring. They got smoked by Texas 57-7. But then they beat UCF and Kansas and TCU really isn't all that.
Kansas
impressive.
Is a good win. UCF's not bad.
Yes. I think they beat Kansas with the third string quarterback though, or something like that. So, what is this Texas Tech team now that the dust has settled?
So Beta Rank's got this. I mean, it's nearly a toss up. It's Cal's at 41 overall in Beta Rank. Texas at 43. Offensively, Cal's improved significantly. They're at 48 overall in Beta Rank, but Spadaval's moved on. He's the offensive coordinator at Baylor now. So they are likely without him. Now, Cal does run the ball more effectively than they throw it. 31 overall in effective rush versus 64 in effective pass. But this Texas Tech defense is at 24 overall. They're pretty good, but they are better defending the pass. They're at 13 overall in effective pass versus 44 overall defending the run. So that might be a little bit of an advantage for Cal there. Offensively, Texas Tech is a pretty bad Power 5 offense, 62 overall in Beta Rank, 55 in effective rush versus 73 in effective pass. Cal's defense is at 45 overall in beta rank. They're at 29 in effective rush versus 83 overall in effective pass. I do like Cal a little bit in this game, given like everything there. I've got it as Cal is a 1 point favorite here, like 48.1 to 47.85. I mean, not even 1 point, less than 1 point, like really a freaking toss up in there.
I think Cal's going to win straight up. Like this is what Justin Wilcox does. He wins dumb non-conference games like that are like just interesting. That are interesting, but not super interesting. Like that's what he does every year. He didn't get Auburn this time, although he almost did. I think he gets Texas Tech here. I think the interesting thing is he's still a good coach. That's a tough job. And I think we dump on him too much on the podcast because Cal and it's like, you know, they're on a fault line, like bankrupt,
but they're going to be in the ACC. But,
yeah. And couldn't call offense for years, but I think the offense, I know they have quarterback problems, but they made a serious attempt to actually coach offense.
No, the Spadamall hire was inspired. Wilcox, it was a really good hire.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see what they're able to cook up with the absence there. I'll take Cal. I think they just beat this Texas Tech team. Yeah. I think this is just one of those, this is funny. This is the rematch, Rob, of the Aaron Rodgers, Mike Leach Texas Tech Holiday Bowl from like 2002 where like the final score was 7,000 to like 7,001. And Cal teams are really good with Tedford. That's an interesting bowl. Yeah. You know, anything else in week 16, you know, coming up this week that you're interested, any of the bowl games that jump out to you?
Oh, geez.
Those are the only two Pac-12 games. Sorry, I threw that
you
at
did.
You.
I threw it at me and I'm like, wait a minute. What it's my own fault. I organized beta rank actually had, and like Navy largely outplayed Army and still lost. Like so frustrating.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough.
Jacksonville State, Louisiana should be a fun game.
Rich Rod
and Miami of Ohio App State is fun. New Mexico State, Fresno State should be a good one.
Jerry Kill Tedford, if Tedford was there, that'd been a super fun matchup. Obviously, Tedford's taking a step aside for some health reasons, and I hope he returns as soon as possible because what he's done at Fresno State, what a cool story. Like, if you just look at his coaching history, you're just like, hot damn, man, that's pretty good. He fell off a cliff a little bit at the end at Cal when they started, you know, turning the screws on academics, but good for him for being like, yeah, I'm out. I think I'm done here. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it too. There's no like really glaring big games. It's more just kind of like hipster games this week. So let's call it a let's make it a wrap. Again, I'm sorry, I'm not doing the college football bowl. I might do it just with some friends, but it's just a pain in the butt to pay everybody and to track everything. And like I get so busy during Christmas time, and then it's like full bore budgeting for nonprofits like forever. So. I do pay everybody. I paid everybody last year with interest because I got it to them late. But I just don't want to make anybody like mad at the podcast because I'm underwater with work and like the bowl pool is, you know, with four kids is like the priority 7,000.
It's better. It's better to underpromise and overdeliver than otherwise, right? Like.
That's right. I should mail everybody money first and then ask them to mail it back. That's the way it works, right?
mail people their winnings and then hold the bowl pool, right?
That's right. All right, this is everybody. We'll wrap it up for this week. We will be back next week to talk some bowls, and I'm sure there'll be more transfer news and some probably coordinator hires, and we'll catch you then.